All right, if you take your Bibles and turn to 1 Chronicles this evening, 1 Chronicles chapter 16, 1 Chronicles 16. When you think about a Thanksgiving type sermon, 1 Chronicles naturally comes to mind, doesn't it? Isn't that the given? I mean, 1 Chronicles chapter 16. As I said this morning, I don't often preach sermons that go along with holidays and things like that. I'm not against it, and I do sometimes, you know that. Some pastors make it a point to do that all the time, and I just choose not to do that because if you start to add up, I've been in churches where there's a New Year's sermon, Resurrection Sunday, Mother's Day, Father's Day, Memorial Day, 4th of July, Veterans Day, Labor Day, Thanksgiving, Christmas, and you've got almost 2 months of Sundays there that are already dedicated to certain things. And I just, you know, I just choose to not do that and just, you know, if I feel like God wants me to preach on something in that line, then I will. Or if I come across something that seems to fit, you know. But I'd like to do that this evening. We have the grandest, in my opinion, the grandest of holidays coming up. And when you think about this holiday of Thanksgiving, it is uniquely American, this holiday is. And we think back to when our forefathers, when our ancestors came to this land, after doing all that they could to try to get along in the old country and to get along and under this religious persecution, this really was the last straw coming over here. It wasn't a form of rebellion that, well, we'll just go. No, they did everything they could to stay where they were, and then when it was obvious that they couldn't, they came here. And don't let anyone fool you into thinking that religious persecution had nothing to do with them coming here. Okay? We realize that there were other factors as well, but history is true when it tells us that one of the main driving factors was that of the Church of England persecuting Christians and not wanting Christians to be able to worship God in the way that they chose to, in the way that they should have been able to, but the Church of England wanting to dictate everything to the people there. Okay, so a lot of factors, but religious freedom absolutely being one of the greatest. Who would have thought in 2018 we would have coalitions with names like the Freedom From Religion and atheistic groups trying to undo the very thing, one of the foundational pillars of this country, to try to take away and to stifle people, really just Christianity. It's the only religion anyone really has a problem with anyhow. Who'd have thought that we'd ever get to this point? However, you've heard me say, with all of her problems, I still don't know of any other place that I'd want to live. We have a lot of problems here, but we also still have a lot going for us. And it's sad to look around and see what's happening in our country. It's sad to see, really, what is the saddest thing to me is the thing that causes a lot of these others, and that is the complacency and the place of Christianity. The state of Christianity in the United States of America is really pitiful. When you really get down to it, it's pitiful what Christianity has turned into, and this complacent, lackluster, just whatever, sit around and let everything just degrade. Where is that that fervor? Where is that fire that we once had? And that's what the other stuff stems from. It really is. You cannot legislate morality, and government has no responsibility doing that. But if the church is what it's supposed to be and it's out there preaching the gospel and preaching holy living and righteous living, you don't have to try to legislate morality. But anyhow, this is still a wonderful country that we live in. I still like it here. And I'm still blessed and thankful that I was born here and not anywhere else. Even with its problems, I'm still thankful for this country. I'm thankful for everything that God has done. But I don't want to preach tonight about being thankful for the country that we live in, even though this holiday of Thanksgiving that we're about to celebrate is one where we think a lot about the founding of this country. And we think about our ancestors coming here, our forefathers coming here, and we think about how this country was started and all of those things. It really goes beyond that. Giving thanks, when they gave thanks in that time, what they gave thanks for was God's provision here in this new world. When they came here and He provided for them and He sustained them and He helped them, that it wasn't just this land that they were thankful for, but it was His provision and His care and His protection over them whenever they came here. And so rather than looking at just the national side of this holiday that we are about to celebrate, I want to look at the actions of the thankful and how no matter where a person, a believer, lives, no matter what country they live in, no matter how that country got its start, no matter what the history of that country is, believers all over the world, believers and members of the body of Christ, all should have this one thing in common, and that is to have a heart of thankfulness to our God. And that you and I need to have a heart of thankfulness not one day every year in November, but that day, that Thursday in November, should just be a continuation of what our heart sings, the psalm of our heart, every other day of the year. That it should just be, you know what, I'm just as thankful today as I am every other day. I'm just going to eat a little more this day. We're going to have a few more people in the house. We're going to have a little more fellowship. But it shouldn't be that we relegate our thanksgiving to one day. God's people are to be thankful every day. Every moment we are to be thankful. But I want to look at that this evening here in 1 Chronicles 16 and look at some of the actions of the thankful. Let's read down through verse 36. So they brought the ark of God and set it in the midst of the tent that David had pitched for it. And they offered burnt sacrifices and peace offerings before God. And when David had made an end of offering the burnt offerings and the peace offerings, he blessed the people in the name of the Lord. And he dealt to every one of Israel, both man and woman, to every one a loaf of bread and a good piece of flesh and a flagon of wine. And he appointed certain of the Levites to minister before the ark of the Lord and to record and to thank and praise the Lord God of Israel. Asaph the chief, and next to him Zechariah, Jeiel and Shemaraimoth and Jehiel and Mattathiah and Eliab and Benaiah and Obed-Edom and Jeiel with psalteries and with harps. But Asaph made a sound with cymbals. Benaiah also and Jehaziel the priest with trumpets continually before the ark of the covenant of God. Then on that day, David delivered first this psalm to thank the Lord into the hand of Asaph and his brethren. Give thanks unto the Lord, call upon his name, make known his deeds among the people. Sing unto him, sing songs unto him. Talk ye of all his wondrous works. Glory in his holy name. Let the heart of them rejoice that seek the Lord. Seek the Lord in His strength. Seek His face continually. Remember His marvelous works that He hath done, His wonders and the judgments of His mouth. O ye seed of Israel, His servants, ye children of Jacob, His chosen ones. He is the Lord our God. His judgments are in all the earth. Be ye mindful always of His covenant, the word which He commanded to 1,000 generations, even of the covenant which He made with Abraham and of His oath unto Isaac, and hath confirmed the same to Jacob, Jacob for a law, and to Israel for an everlasting covenant, saying, unto thee will I give the land of Canaan, the lot of your inheritance. When ye were but few, even a few, and strangers in it, when they went from nation to nation and from one kingdom to another people, he suffered no man to do them wrong. Yea, he reproved kings for their sakes, saying, touch not mine anointed and do my prophets no harm. Sing unto the Lord all the earth. Show forth from day to day his salvation. Declare his glory among the heathen, his marvelous works among all nations. For great is the Lord and greatly to be praised. He also is to be feared above all gods, for all the gods of the people are idols. But the Lord made the heavens. Glory and honor are in his presence. Strength and gladness are in his place. Give unto the Lord, ye kindreds of the Lord, give unto the Lord glory and, ye kindreds of the people, give unto the Lord glory and strength. Give unto the Lord the glory due unto his name. We're going to keep reading, but just stop and think about that. Give unto the Lord the glory due unto his name. Why should I give glory unto God? It belongs to him. It's his. You find my wallet, you should give it back to me. Why? Because it's mine. You should slip a 50 in it first, but you should give it back to me because it's mine. You say, maybe I'll take a 50 out. Go ahead and try it. Why should you give it back? It's mine. It belongs to me. If I borrow something from you, I need to give it back to you because it's yours. It belongs to you. Why do we give glory unto him? It belongs to him. It is due unto him. Give unto the Lord the glory due unto his name. Bring an offering and come before him. Worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. Fear before him all the earth. The world also shall be stable, that it be not moved. Let the heavens be glad, and let the earth rejoice, and let men say among the nations, the Lord reigneth. Let the sea roar and the fullness thereof. Let the fields rejoice and all that is therein. Then shall the trees of the woods sing out the presence of the Lord, because he cometh to judge the earth. O give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endureth forever. And ye say, save us, O God of our salvation, and gather us together and deliver us from the heathen, that they may give thanks to thy holy name and glory in thy praise. Blessed be the Lord God of Israel forever and ever. And all the people said, amen, and praised the Lord. Dear God, just help us tonight as we look at this psalm of praise, and help us to just be challenged and encouraged here tonight. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. In the previous chapter, David brought the Ark of the Covenant into Jerusalem. Okay? He has made Jerusalem the capital of Israel, and he's bringing the Ark back into the city here. And as he did, you could read in chapter 15, as he did, he danced and he rejoiced when they came into the city. He was overwhelmed with this joy that the ark is going to be here in the city. And his wife looked out the window and saw what he was doing, and saw him out there dancing, and saw him carrying on. And the Bible says that she despised him for it in her heart. Amy and I were talking yesterday, I believe it was, about how it is wrong for someone who is married who is saved not to follow after God because their spouse won't follow after God. Well, they won't, you know, and I've heard people say, well, I want to go to church, but I'm waiting for my husband to go. I want to go with my husband, or I want to go with my wife. Hey, it would be wonderful for that home if you both went, but you can't sit at home and wait for that other person. Because that other person isn't the one who saved you. That other person isn't the reason that you're going. Yeah, they ought to be there with you, and it's wonderful when they are, but you have to take care of your fellowship with God. And here David's wife despises him because of the way that he's acting and carrying on. And what if David would have said, oh, well, she doesn't like it. I better not Better tone it down. She doesn't like it. Hey, she wasn't the one. She wasn't the one that the ark represented. She wasn't the mercy seat. She wasn't the God of Israel. And so even though she despised him, look what we have in the very next chapter. David writing this psalm and it being read and sung in the ears of the people. He delivers after this that we just now read his first recorded psalm. And it's a psalm of thanksgiving. And tonight as we look at it, I want to learn the actions of the thankful. What do thankful people do, or what should thankful people do? How should they act? How should we talk? What are the actions we should have? A thankful heart will produce these actions in our lives. And if we are thankful for what God has done for us, none of these tasks will be too hard for us. And so let's begin there in verse 8. Give thanks unto the Lord, call upon His name, make known His deeds among the people. Well, first of all, the first action of the thankful will give thanks. The thankful will begin by giving thanks. Now, it goes beyond that. We're going to see other things that the thankful will do, but a thankful person will give thanks. You know, when your children are growing up, sometimes they have to be taught and told and reminded, say thank you, say thank you, say thank you. They're learning. We ought not have to tell a 20, 30, 40-year-old, say thank you. They ought to know what thankfulness is, and if they're thankful, they will give thanks. It's a foolish thing for us to say, well, they know I appreciate it. Well, how do they know? Have you told them? Well, God knows. Well, the Bible's full of commandments to us and admonitions to us to tell Him. Well, you know, He already knows. Yeah, your wife and your husband already know you love them, but did you quit telling them the day you got married? Give thanks unto the Lord. We sing about things that we know about and that we care about. You know, there are songs out there that I don't sing and that you don't sing because the subject matter are things that we either don't know about or we don't want to know about or we shouldn't be singing about. The songs that we sing are songs that are important to us that talk about things that are important to us. I enjoy songs that talk about growing up and living out in the country. Why? I know about that. I can relate to that. And different people like different types of songs and messages and things, but it's always something that we know about and we can relate to and that we care about. We sing about things that we know and we care about. Do we know God? Are we saved? Is He our God? Then lift up your voices unto Almighty God, because we know Him and we care about Him and He cares about us. Look over to Psalm 40. Hold your place there. We'll come back to 1 Chronicles. I'm going to mark it here. But go over to Psalm 40. Psalm 40 and no, I'm sorry. I made a mistake there. I'm standing up here talking about singing, and I got ahead of myself. Let's back up. Let's back up a minute. Giving thanks. I didn't even notice that I skipped something here. Giving thanks. We give thanks unto God because we are thankful. Thankful people give thanks. Are you thankful and are you grateful? Or do you take the blessings of God and the gifts of God for granted? Have they become commonplace to you? Has it just become common what God's done for you? Yeah, well, I got a house, I got a car, I got a job, and I got a good family, and I'm saved, I'm going to heaven. Has it become commonplace to you? Listen, if we are thankful, we will give thanks. And too often we rush through the thanksgiving of our prayers, where we ought to slow down and thank God for some things that maybe we haven't thanked Him for in a while. But the thankful give thanks. The thankful there in verse 8 call upon His name. They call upon His name. It says, give thanks unto the Lord. Call upon His name. If you're thankful, you'll want Him to know. You will want to tell Him. Has somebody ever done something for you or given you something and you got to thinking later on, did I thank them? And you weren't sure if you did or not and it bothered you? Why did it bother you? You didn't want to seem ungrateful. You wanted to make sure that they knew that you were thankful for what they did. Somebody ever did something for you and you couldn't thank them enough? They say, oh, you already thanked me. I know, I just want to thank you again. That was wonderful what you did for me. I really appreciate that. Listen. If you're thankful, you'll want God to know. You'll call upon His name. Because a heart of gratitude cannot remain silent. If God is your all in all, you'll want to spend time calling on His name and talking to Him because you're thankful for what He has done. It says there, make known His deeds among the people. If you're thankful for what God has done, you'll want to tell other people what God has done. You'll want to proclaim it. You'll want to publish it. The Bible tells us, it says, go ye into all the world. Preach the gospel unto every creature. We ought not do that with our head down and laboriously. We ought, our mentality, our attitude ought be, well, of course, He saved me from hell. I'm not going to spend eternity in hell. My sins are forgiven. And then look what He gave me after that. Family, home, and food, and clothes, and this church, and a job, and these wonderful people, and to worship with, and to serve with, and to have fellowship with. Why would I want to keep this to myself? Make known His deeds, the Bible tells us. Now we can go to Psalm, but let's go to Psalm 89. Psalm 89. And find the first verse. Tell people. Tell them what He's done. Tell them what He did for Israel. Tell them what He did for others in the Bible. Tell them what He did for you. Tell them what He did for them. Psalm 89 and verse 1, I will sing of the mercies of the Lord forever. With my mouth will I make known Thy faithfulness to all generations. The psalmist here says, I will with my mouth, not just with the way that I live or let them see it in my life, I'll just be quiet and let them see that I'm a nice person. No, he says, with my mouth, I will make known. I will tell people what God has done, what He's done for others, what He's done for me, what He's done for you. Let me show you in the Word what He's done for you. What will we do? We will make known. Why? Because we love our God and we're thankful for what He has done. And then in verse 9, back in 1 Chronicles, sing unto Him, sing songs unto Him, talk ye of all His wondrous works. Now I can talk about singing. I jumped ahead of myself there. We sing about things that we care about. And in Psalm 40 and verse 3 that we were going to look at just a second ago. Listen, I know that I'm not the only person in here who enjoys music. I like to listen to it. I like to play it. I like to sing. I enjoy these things. All right? But As I look back into the past, growing up, there were things that I listened to and things that I sang that I shouldn't have. Worldly things, carnal things. Okay? But as a born-again believer in Jesus Christ, look at Psalm 40 and verse 3. And He hath put a new song in my mouth, even praise unto our God. Many shall see it and fear and shall trust in the Lord. You know why a born-again believer shouldn't talk like the world? Because he's not of the world anymore. You know why we shouldn't sing the songs of the world? Because we're not of the world anymore. You know why a born-again believer shouldn't sing about worldly things? Because we're not of the world. That's not who we are anymore. We have been given a new song. And God is the one who's put it there. And he hath put a new song in my mouth, even praise unto our God. Many shall see it and fear and shall trust in the Lord. Just as Peter was wrong for warming himself over the world's fire, we are wrong when we sing the world's songs. Now we get down specifically to that, and the question might be, well, the question might be asked, so is the only thing that a Christian should listen to or sing hymns and psalms? Well, we are admonished to sing those and to make melody in our hearts. And I believe that there are other types of music out there that are not the world's music, and they are not defiled by the world. But what we have to look at is make sure that it's not the world's song. It's not talking about the world's philosophies and the world's teachings and things that are unbiblical. There's lots of music out there that doesn't even have any words. Beautiful music that's just music. It's not of the world. It's not sinful. It's not ungodly. But God's people ought not be singing the songs of the world and talking about the things of the world. Who are we supposed to be singing unto? God Almighty. Almighty God, who is pure, who has put a new song in our hearts. Back there in 1 Chronicles in chapter 16, it also tells us in verse 9, talk ye of all his wondrous works. Are you telling others not only how to be saved, but of all the wonderful things that God has done? If we're thankful for what he's done, we'll be telling people about it. Verse 10, glory ye in his holy name. Let the heart of them rejoice that seek the Lord. We cannot glory in ourselves. Paul told us in Galatians chapter 6 and verse 14 that he would only glory in the cross. Glory in him. What do we have to glory of? What do we have to boast of? Oh, if I'm thankful for who God is, and I'm thankful that he doesn't change, and I'm thankful for what he's done for me, I will only glory in him and what he has done if I'm truly thankful for who he is. Listen, if you're thankful, hey, if you are thankful for your spouse and you love your spouse, you won't go looking for another spouse. You won't go looking for somebody else. If you're thankful for who you have, you won't go try to find a replacement. If we are thankful for who God is and what he's done in our life, then we will only glory in him. We won't glory in ourselves. We won't glory in anybody else. Our own accomplishments, man's accomplishments. But we will only glory in him simply because of who he is and what he has done. Glory in his holy name. In verse 10, let the heart of them rejoice that seek the Lord. Hey, are you rejoicing? Are you rejoicing or are you one of those bitter, you know, snapping turtle Christians, you know, just and just, you know, are you the one that gets avoided? I'd ask her how she's doing, but she'd probably tell me. And I'm feeling good. I don't need to be brought down. Come on, are people surprised when they find out that you're a believer? Oh, I'm saved. I'm a Christian. Well, you're always in such a foul mood for then. Come on, do you rejoice? If we're thankful for who God is and what he's done for us, we'll rejoice. We'll talk about it. We'll lift up our voices. As we lift up our voices, we must also lift up our heads and our hands and not walk around as the downtrodden, because we're not the downtrodden. We've been redeemed. We're going to heaven. We have something to be thankful for. We have something to thank our God for, and that is him. Come on. If you only thanked him. If you were ever, let me think of the best way to word this. If it were possible to adequately thank God for just who he is, you would never even make it to everything he's done for you. If you were just able to adequately thank him with your words and with your time, just for who he is, Creator, Almighty, All-Sustaining God, if you were able to pull that off, and you can't, but if you were able to, it would take you so long, you wouldn't even have time to get to everything else to be thankful for. And on top of just who he is, on top of just who God is, then we have, and he saved me. And he gave me a home. And he feeds me. And he walks with me. And he talks with me. And he tells me I am his own. And. We could never get to the bottom of it. We could never extinguish it. There's so much there. Have you ever had a child, maybe your child or another child that you knew of? Have you ever known of a child who experienced something real exciting, and just when you think they've told you all the details, they keep remembering, oh, and then this happened, and then that happened, and then you say, okay, I think you've told me about it. Oh, listen, I remember. Then they did this, and then they said that, and then this over here, and they just on and on. And you think, man, you've told me everything. No, listen, I forgot to tell you this. They also, when they came in, they did this and that. And you know why they do that? They're excited about something. They want you to know all the details. Excited about who God is. Excited that you're not going to go to hell? Are you excited that you have eternity with him in heaven? Well, we just can't get to the end of it, can we? There's always something to be thanking him for. And we could spend all day just praying a prayer of thanksgiving. And at the end of the day, that prayer would be a drop in the ocean compared to what he's done for us. Boy, it's a good thing we've got eternity when we finally go home, isn't it? That ought to be just enough time to get about halfway done thanking him. It's a good thing we've got eternity. In verse 11, it says, seek the Lord in his strength. Seek his face continually. The thankful will receive, will seek. We will seek his face continually. When we're thankful for what he's done for us, we'll want to be obedient. We'll want to know more about him. We will want to do the things that he has for us to do. We will want to know the direction that he has for us, and we will seek his face continually, not just when it's convenient, not just when we are in trouble, not just when we feel like it, but continually. We will always seek the face of the Lord. In verse 12, remember his marvelous works that he hath done, his wonders and the judgments of his mouth. The thankful will remember. We'll remember what God has done. We will make it a point to call it, recall it to memory. I want you to think about how, we think about this holiday coming up of Thanksgiving. We teach our children and we tell them how the holiday started, how this country got started, and we are recalling that so that they will know we're thankful for what took place. And so we tell them that. When you get together with your family, pardon me, at special times during the year, it might be a holiday, it might be a birthday that you always celebrate or whatever it is, but you get together with family, and how often do you sit around and you talk about the get-togethers or the holidays of days past? And you say, oh, you remember about 5 years ago when we had this get-together, we had this cookout and this happened, and you remember? I don't know if she's still doing it. I would imagine she is. We don't go there for Christmas anymore. She usually comes to our place. But Amy's mom for years has done this kind of like a scrapbook thing. She's probably still doing it. And it's a Christmas scrapbook, and she puts it out on the table every year. And what she does is, when Christmas is over, she'll take some pictures that she took from that Christmas and put them in there with the date. And so you go through this, and it's, you know, memories and Christmas through the years. And it's a neat thing to look at. It's a neat thing to look through there and see Amy and her siblings whenever they were real little. And then, you know, you go through so many years, and then I show up, and when I became a part of the family, and then there's our kids when they were babies and growing up. And there's always, when we would have Christmas over with her parents, there's just multiple times throughout the day you'll see different people with that book in their laps, looking through it and pouring over it. Oh, yeah, I'm pointing and talking and laughing. Because we like to remember those things. Hey, God's done so many wonderful things. Don't you like to remember them? Don't you like to think about them? Don't you like to be reminded of what He has done? Now, the Bible tells us here to remember. Remember His marvelous works. Well, look, I know that this is geared mainly toward the Israelites, okay? But these principles apply to all of God's people, okay? We're getting into it. There's a little passage here we'll skip over where He talks specifically about Israel, and that didn't apply to us, but these principles apply to us, okay? Now, how often do we reflect on what He's done? If we neglect this step, if we don't remain diligent about remembering things, then we are prone to forget. And the devil would love for us to forget. Oh, he will put things in our way to distract us so that we will forget what God has done. Psalm 103. Psalm 103 and verse 2. Verse 1. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless His holy name. You know, David didn't say, with the little bit I've got to spare, with part of me, with this part of my life, but this part over here is my business. This is mine here. No, he says, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless His holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all His benefits. Forget not all His benefits. Have you ever gone back and... Oh, I thought we lost it, Randy. Have you ever gone back and look through your insurance papers? Amy was looking at some stuff this past week that lists your benefits. And you say, I didn't realize it covered that. I know nowadays few people say that. Nowadays it's more, man, I thought it used to cover this. I thought it covered that. But you ever gone through and you say, I didn't know the insurance covered that, or I didn't know that was part of it, or, oh, I forgot that it would cover, you know, that. You go back and you refresh yourself because you forget. Or maybe you work somewhere and they have an employee handbook. And you have to go back from time to time and look and say, oh, I forgot I got, you know, a few days off in the spring. I forgot all about that. You forget these things. You have to go back and look. David says here, bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all His benefits. Why would He tell us not to forget His benefits? Because we are prone to forget His benefits. If we didn't, David wouldn't bother telling us, don't forget what He's done. But he tells us that because we do sometimes. We forget. The thankful will reflect on what God has done, and he will remember so that he does not forget. Back there in 1 Chronicles, jump down to verse 23. Sing unto the Lord all the earth, show forth from day today His salvation, declare His glory among the heathen, His marvelous works among all nations, for great is the Lord, and greatly to be praised. He also is to be feared above all gods, for all the gods of the world are idols, but the Lord made the heavens. We are to tell others, if you look back there again at 23 and 24, show forth from day to day His salvation, declare His glory among the heathen, His marvelous works among all nations. We are to tell others of the salvation of the Lord. We are to tell others what God has done for everyone. We proclaim specifically what He's done for us, and we tell others, let me tell you what He did for you. Let me tell you what He's already done for you. Here's how He saved me, and here's how He'll save you if you'll put your faith and trust in Him and tell people that they need to be saved. Oh, notice that it says day to day. Church, you never stop being a witness. You're not supposed to stop being a witness. We're to be a witness continually, constantly. Verses 25, I know we read 25 and 26. Look at 27. Glory and honor are in His presence. Strength and gladness are in His place. Give unto the Lord, ye kindreds of the people. Give unto the Lord glory and strength. Give unto the Lord the glory due unto His name. Bring an offering and come before Him. Worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. The thankful will give unto Him worship and praise. Listen. To the thankful, assembling together with other believers is not a hardship. It is not a chore. It is not a task. Oh, I understand that there are times when, you know, we have things going on physically and we have other things where we can't be here. That's not what we're talking about. That's not what we're talking about. And we know that there are times whenever we feel like we just can't take another step. But the thankful will not see worshiping God and praising Him and getting, which we are to do every day, that's not just in church, but part of it is done in here. They will not see getting together with other believers to lift up worship and praise of God and learn about Him as an inconvenience. Oh, well, we just went last week. Oh, we just went this morning. It ain't Sunday. It's not Sunday. This is middle of the week. This is Wednesday. What should I go to? Hey, I want to be careful because church schedules, especially through the week, are man-made. We want to be careful and not try to hold people to something that is not, you know, in the Bible we're told that they met on the first day, but at the same time we're told in the book of Acts that the church in Jerusalem met daily. So these schedules we want to be careful of and not beat people over the head by something that Scripture doesn't beat us up over. But let's talk about the heart. Let's talk about the attitude of the heart. Hey, look, there's an opportunity to go learn more. There's an opportunity to get a little bit closer. There's an opportunity for more fellowship. There's an opportunity to lift Him up some more, get some strength, get together with my fellow brothers and sisters. That opportunity is there. Well, take advantage of that, and the thankful will not see it as a hardship. The thankful will never say, well, I got my service in. It just won't be. We're talking about the heart here. We're talking about the heart. The thankful will want to worship Him and lift Him up on their daily schedules and with other believers in church. See, that's the thing, is that we cannot relegate praising and worshiping God to the church service only. It's to be a continual thing. We are to always be worshiping Him, praising Him for what He's done, giving Him the glory. But part of that is getting together with other believers. And the thankful will do that. In verse 30 it says, fear before Him, all the earth, the world also shall be stable, that it be not moved. Yes, He is a God to be feared. And we ought fear Him. Absolutely. Well, you know, I'm a servant of God I'm afraid of Him. It's a healthy, clean, pure, holy fear, but I'm afraid of Him. Oh, He's my Father and He loves me and I know He's going to give me eternity, but I fear Him. Why would you fear Him? Well, I fear Him out of just complete and utter respect because of who He is, but I also fear someone who can say, let there be light, and there is light. If he can say words that brought everything into existence, If he can open up the world, if he can open up the earth and swallow people up, if, as Colossians tells us, in him all things consist, yeah, buddy, I'll fear him. You better believe I'll fear him. A good, healthy, reverent, respectful fear, but I'm going to fear him. The thankful will fear God. You know, this attitude that's out there in some churches that God's just your buddy. You know, I know we sing the song, and it's a beautiful song, What a Friend We Have in Jesus. But that song doesn't diminish who God is. But there are people who have this idea of God, of Christ, and they diminish who he is. And, you know, he's just a good old boy like everybody else. You know, he just like us. Boy, I'm glad he's not just like us. I wouldn't be saved if he was just like us. Oh, he took on a body of flesh just like us, but he didn't have sin like us. I'm thankful he's not just like me. What would I strive for then? But see, we are to be like him. And that's just a never-ending, never-ending quest, is it? Because as long as I'm here, I can't attain that. Okay? I can't attain that. Now, this idea, well, you know, he's just your buddy. He's your, you know, he's just your good old friend and everything. Hey, that is such a low view of who Christ is. Do we have a friend in Jesus? Absolutely. But he's not like you are my friend and I am your friend. Oh, he's much greater than that. He's much greater than that. And we need to get back. We need to get back. Believers need to get back. Churches need to get back to proclaiming the mighty awesomeness of God and who he is and having a healthy, reverent fear of him. We know the heathen don't fear him. Look at how they talk about him. But they're heathen. We're talking about believers. We have no excuse for not fearing him. We know who he is. And we will not demote or degrade him to being just one of us. We will keep him where he is. What did Isaiah say he was? He said he was high and lifted up. Those angelic beings who had never sinned wouldn't even look at him around the throne. With two of their wings, they covered their faces and wouldn't even look at him. And all they could say was, holy, holy, holy. And then people... now. Yeah, you know, God, he's all right with me. He's all right with me just like this, you know. He just looks on the heart. And none of the rest of this even really matters. You've got a low view of God. Listen, the thankful will give him worship and give him praise and will keep him high and lifted up. In verse 30, it says, fear before him. All the earth, the world also shall be stable, that it be not moved. Fear before him. Have that good and healthy fear of him. In verse 34, oh, give thanks unto the Lord. Here it is again. For he is good. For his mercy endureth forever. This psalm gives us reason after reason after reason to be thankful. If you only need one, if you only remember one as you walk out of here tonight, we ought to walk out of here remembering all of these reasons to be thankful to God. But if you were to walk out of here tonight only remembering one, only taking one reason with you, take this one with you. His mercy endureth forever. Lord, I messed up again. I'm sorry. He's faithful and just to forgive us. Lord, how do you put up with me? Lord, I stumble, I struggle, I don't do this, and I, as Paul said, those things that I ought to do, I don't do, and I do the things that I won't. Lord, how do you, aren't you done with me yet? Aren't you thankful that when everybody else that you know has had enough and they're done with you, God's never had enough and He's never done with you? Displeased? Absolutely. Have to chasten you sometimes? Absolutely. But never leave thee nor forsake thee. His mercy endureth forever. You know why? I need it. I need it. In verse 34, oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for He is good. Don't you just love how the world's always trying to, you got to come up with the biggest word. Everything's awesome. Everything is colossal. Nowadays, everything is epic. I get so sick and tired of hearing epic every time I turn around. Epic this, epic that. Epic football plays of 2017. Ooh. This colossal sandwich. Everything just... And then you come to the Word, and David says, for He is good. He is good. You know, God isn't good because He does good things. God's good because He's the definition of good. And something is not right. God does not do what is right. It is right because God does it. He's just good. He's pure. What is good? God. What is pure? God. We thank Him for He's good, for His mercy endureth forever. And in verse 35, and say ye, save us, O God, of our salvation, and gather us together, and deliver us from the heathen, that we may give thanks to Thy holy name and glory in Thy praise. Now here's, this is Israel here, okay? And God delivered them from the heathen over and over and over and over and over again. But I want you to think about this. I was just reading this yesterday, and this kind of stood out to me. One more thing here to be thankful for. Now, this is Israel talking about God delivering them from the heathen, from their enemies. But I want you to think about this. I want you to think about this. You and I can be thankful because there's coming a day when He's going to deliver us from the heathen as well. There's coming a day when He's going to get us out of here. There's coming a day where we will no longer have to worry about the billboards, the radios, the newspapers, the neighbor, the school system, the government. There'll be a day when all of the arguments about my tax dollars paying to kill babies, there'll never be another argument like that. There'll be a day when there won't be a single person disputing over how many genders. It ain't up for debate. It's not. I won't argue it with anybody because it's not up for debate. There'll be a day when none of that will be spoken, be no defilement. There'll be a day when He is going to deliver us from the heathen. And I'm thankful that that day is coming. And though the older we get, the more we look forward to home, I really, in all honesty, don't care when it is. It'll be here someday. I really don't care. It'd be nice if it came, you know, even so, Lord, come quickly. It'd be nice if it was sooner than later, but if I live another 50 years, if I make it into my 90s, and we've had a lot of people in this church do it. The challenge has been laid down. I'm going to have to do that. Okay? Even if I have to wait that long. Still coming. Still coming. That day is still going to arrive. I'm still going to go home and be delivered from the heathen. And be in a place where there are no heathens. Just a bunch of people who used to be heathens. And then they were redeemed by the blood of Jesus Christ, and they're heathens no more. Church, There is a old song. It's not a Christian song, but it's not a bad song. It's an old song that it came from a movie. It came from an old movie that Bing Crosby was in. And the name of this song was "I've Got Plenty to Be Thankful For." And like I said, it's not a Christian song, but it's not a worldly song. It's clean. "I've got plenty to be thankful for." But the thing is, never in that song is God mentioned. And here's someone just talking about having, you know, things going well for him and all. Never is God mentioned. Hey, is there anybody on the face of this earth that has more to be thankful for than born-again believers in Jesus Christ? Absolutely not. No matter what country you live in, no matter what your position is, no matter what your bank account says, we have plenty to be thankful for, more than we could ever thank Him for. Heavenly Father, thank You for tonight and Your Word and who You are, the fact that You never change, all of Your blessings, all of Your benefits, all of the wonderful things that You have done. But Lord, as we said this evening, if we just concentrated on who You are before we even got to who You've done for what You've done for us, we could never get to the bottom of our praise for You and our thankfulness. Help us, Lord, as we go about this week to remember every day, not just this time of year, but every day, that we would just be reminded of all that we have to be thankful for, and that we would thank You and we would let our thankfulness be shown to others as a witness to point them to You. Dear Lord, we just collectively say to You, thank You. Thank You for who You are, that You're good, for Your mercy that endures forever. Thank You for all of Your benefits. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.